6, 5, 4.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z, and I'm glad to be back after a little time off. I'm actually with a very dear and close friend today, drummer supreme Rudy Feinauer. Say hello to everybody.
Hello.
Yes? Okay. Today what we're going to do is we're going to give you a drum lesson. I'm not a drummer, and actually it reminds me back in the days when schools actually taught music in the fourth grade. I was torn between whether I should play the trumpet or the drums, and I picked the drums.
You play drums?
No, my mom said you're playing the trumpet. She didn't want the banging in the house. And I played trumpet, and I was first trumpet until I got braces at like 13. And you know, then every time you pressed the trumpet on your lip, it would bleed.
Yeah, it cut your lip.
And after that, I never regained the first seat, and eventually switched to the trombone, the baritone, and the lower instruments. But anyway, I always did want to play the drums, but as you said, I have good time, so maybe I would have been all right.
No.
But anyway, now, you're a professional musician. Mm-hmm. You went to...
New England Conservatory of Music.
Okay. And you do this full time.
Yeah.
So you teach.
Yeah.
You perform.
Mm-hmm.
What do you prefer, teaching or performing?
Depends on the student, depends on the gig, really.
It's a little more lucrative these days to teach, am I correct?
Some weeks I'm doing 4 or 5 gigs and 4 students. So it depends, I mean, it really varies. It's hard to say, you know, what week, depends on what week I'm doing it.
Let's talk about some of the gigs that you play. Now, your main band is a Bruce Springsteen tribute band.
That's right.
And I know, we're going to joke about this because I'm starting to do a Tom Petty tribute band, and I know my ex-wife loved Tom Petty. I was never crazy about the guy, and somehow it turns out I can do Tom Petty okay.
Right.
I'm sure in your wildest dreams you never figured you'd make your money playing in a Bruce cover band.
No.
What's the name of the band?
Tramps Like Us.
And what's the website?
Trampslikeus.com.
And you were telling me a story about the leader of the band, Mark Salore. What happened to him last night at the Bruce concert?
Last night he went to a Bruce concert. He took his son, and Bruce came out of the stage and gave his son his harmonica. Just walked down to the sixth row, got a security guard, walks out and hands him the harmonica. His little 7-year-old son.
That's awesome.
Great. Yeah, he called me today. He's all excited.
So that's your main band. I know you also play with Gil Parris.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz, rock, funk, blues guy.
Yeah.
You also play with me.
That's right.
And we got 2 gigs coming up this weekend. One at the Reading Roadhouse in Connecticut. In Reading, Connecticut on Friday. And then at the Pauling Tavern on Saturday. 2 different kinds of gigs. I think we'll focus on more blues-oriented material on Friday night because they love the blues up there. And Saturday, I think we'll do more of our rock stuff. But anyway, you also play with Live Society?
I saw them a few times, yeah. I've played
with them. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about drums.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about drums. So, to me, when I learned to play piano, the hardest thing was to coordinate my 2 hands playing different things. And I'm looking at you now and I'm thinking, you have to coordinate 2 hands and 2 feet. So can you actually get 4 appendages going in weird things at once?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do, but it depends on the... Sometimes you're not using all 4, sometimes you're using 2, depends on the grooves.
Okay,
you know?
Your basic rock groove.
Mm-hmm.
Break it down for me. Tell me what a hand would do, what a foot would do.
Okay. Your basic rock groove consists of 3 drums. Usually it's a hi-hat, a snare drum, which is right in front of me, and the bass drum, which is on my...
Show them the hi-hat.
The hi-hat part is usually like this. Right? They're 8 notes. Okay, if I wanted to count those, I'd count them 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Then you'd mix quarter notes up between the bass drum and snare drum. So that'd be like this. Add the eighth notes to it and you're getting
sounds like a Ringo Starr beat.
Yes. Well, that beat's used in millions of songs. You know?
That's pretty cool. Now, the thing with me is I like drummers who don't do a lot of rolls. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is they do rolls and they never get back to one. Now, you and I always laugh at one. There's most of the time we play in 4-4, which means it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. And you know, sometimes I have trouble finding the one again. So let's see that beat and throw in something a little extra.
Okay. Do you want me to lose one? You want to keep one?
No, I want to keep one, but like show me a roll or something.
Okay, I'll roll it once. All right.
Well, what was interesting to me about that is I don't think of those as rolls.
Oh.
Because when I think of rolls, I think of... And then the drummer always misses one. You know what I mean? Those are kind of fills, not
really
rolls.
Yeah, those are fills. You're correct.
What's that big symbol?
That's a ride symbol.
Okay. Yeah. Now, one of my favorite beats is, we do this song by the Velvet Underground called Waiting for the Man.
Right.
But we don't do it like the record. And I told you, give me like a disco rock beat.
Yeah.
You know the beat? So play that beat.
It's very similar to what I just did, but I take the bass drum and rather than alternating between the snare drum and bass drum, I'm playing the bass drum on all the quarters.
So let's see that.
It's all bass drum on playing four on the floor, actually. So it's consistent doing this. I'm doing this. You got it.
It's very interesting. So just by changing that one thing, it gives it a little more drive.
Yeah.
And if you sped that up, you'd have the disco beat, right?
Yeah. You accent the different parts of the hi-hat. Watch this. Here comes the disco beat.
It sounds like the hi-hat is slurping something.
Yeah, that should sound like that. When you close it, you notice the cymbals are a little tilted. So when you close them, all the air doesn't get caught inside the cymbals at the same time.
Because then you couldn't open them.
No. It actually, sort of. That's it. It chokes the sound of the cymbal. If I were to close the cymbals at the same time, instead of if I clap like this, and if I clap like this, I'm choking the sound of my clap this way. If I open my hands up, I got a snap. Here it's closed. Hi-hat does the same thing as it closes all at the same time.
I'm just thinking of beats. Now, we're going to do the song I Don't Want to Wait in Vain.
Oh, okay.
Show me the reggae beat, because it's almost the same speed.
Yeah.
But talk about how you're not going to hit the snare now.
No, I'm going to do something we call a cross stick or a closed rim shot. You're taking the back of the stick or the butt end of the stick, and you're pushing on the rim with the tip of the stick on the snare drum. It's going to almost sound like a wood block if you do it right.
That does.
Yeah, you're trying to make it sound like a woodblock. That's the idea. A lot of people will take the back of the front end of the stick and push it against the rim on the opposite side of the drum and listen to the difference. See, you got to make sure you stay off of that. Get a nice full sound.
So Rudy's tips.
No, I didn't make any of this stuff up. It's all taught to me from other guys.
So let's hear the reggae beat.
Yeah. All right. So it's basically you're doing the backbeat sort of on the bass drum and snare drum. Watch. 1, 1, 3. Basically, 2, 3, 4.
So instead of 1 and 2, you're playing on 2 and 4.
Yeah, you're accenting just this. Really not a very heavy 1 in reggae. Most of the time it doesn't sound right. That's Waiting in Vain. It's sort of a straight eighth. You can do reggae.
Kind of a shuffle.
Yeah. It's the same groove. I'm just swinging the eighth notes.
and let's hear Stir It Up.
That'd be Straight Again. Stir It Up and Waiting in Vain are almost the same beat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Remind me not to do all that.
Yeah. You know.
Now, you make it look all so easy. But let's say, now you teach, you get a young kid, like, what age do kids start playing the drums?
I like the students, my students to start in like fourth grade, so what is that? 10?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I just know what grade they're in. It's like the summer before they go into fourth grade.
Okay, but that's when I started in school.
Yeah.
I mean, fourth grade is when they, you know, when they had music programs.
Yeah.
What would be the first thing that you would teach them? How do you hold, you know,
right.
When I was a kid, they held the drumstick one, right, like that?
They still do. It's a very popular
grip. Oh, you still
do?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what's that grip called?
This is called traditional grip.
Okay.
Right? It makes sense. It's traditional. It's the original grip.
Okay. So you'd show them that first?
Probably not, actually.
What would you show first?
I'd show them match grip, which both hands are holding the same way.
And what's the difference? What's one better for?
Well, this is really for marching bands. Because when you're playing in a marching band, if you're using the strap snare drum, the drum is actually tilting to the side. So you're sort of playing, I'll try and display it on one of my ride cymbals. You're sort of playing on the drums tilted like
that.
You want
me to hold it?
Yeah. So if I'm playing like this, you can see how the angle of my hand works for the cymbal. If I'm doing match grip, I have to lift my elbow up.
Oh, but match grip works better when you're coming straight down.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many arguments and opinions on which grip is better. And I don't know if there is one better. It's which one you practice more.
So you would show them the straight grip?
I'd show them, most of the time, this grip seems a little easier to learn. You're not dealing with two different techniques. If you're a righty or lefty, you can copy the opposite hand. So a kid comes home, he's got the grip right in his right hand, his left hand's messing up, you can go, oh, okay, well, that's what it's supposed to look like. He can come with his left hand. So it's a little easier to learn for that reason. The other thing is when you get into band or orchestra, which most public schools have, this grip doesn't really, it's not used on bells or timpani or glockenspiel or the percussive instruments. Timbales also use the match grip. So
interesting.
We won't run into that issue.
Now, I've heard the word used a lot, rudiments. What are rudiments?
Exercises. The build up your stamina and your strength in your hands, dexterity. So you can play various fills or grooves around the instruments.
Now, I once played in this heavy metal band, and we did this gig in the city at the Bitter End. At the time, it was called the Other End. And it was we had a good sound, but the drummer was what I call a lurcher.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what I mean by lurch? It means the beat's great, and it's almost all of a sudden, it's like a piece falls out of the beat. It's like it boom,
yeah, it's
boom,
yeah.
Boom,
yeah.
Boom, as he just drops time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is your feeling on that? Can you fix that? Can you
no.
fix? Okay, so
can you fix it? Can you fix it at home practicing? If that's what you mean, yes.
Yeah.
But can you fix it when you do that on a gig? It's probably one of the worst things a drummer can do.
No. But I guess what I'm saying is, a student comes to you. Obviously, you have.
Yeah.
There's a spectrum.
Yeah.
Of people who have no time and people who have great time.
Yeah.
Are there some people who their time is so bad that they cannot be taught?
No.
So you believe that any person with any sense of time coming to the Rudy Feinauer School of High Sticking can learn good enough time to play professionally?
Not play professionally, no. It's almost like any sport or anything like that. There's a certain amount of ability you need, but anybody can learn how to play to a point.
Okay.
You know, depending on their ability.
Okay.
You know, but I don't know if everybody that comes to me will be a professional drummer. You know, it takes a lot.
Now, would you start them with these sticks, or would you start them with brushes, or would you start them with those rocket sticks?
It's another interesting thing. I would probably start, I mean, I have to know the size of the kid's hands, actually. You know, I have to look at the kid's hands and see how the sticks fall into the hands. The heavier the stick, all right, the easier it is to hold on to. The fatter the stick, the heavier the stick. But the thinner the stick, the harder it is to hold on to. But it's easier to move up and down, but it's not as heavy. So it's a toss-up. So you're going to give a kid a really heavy stick, he's going to have a problem playing it fast, but he's going to hold on to it easier. You give him a lighter stick, it's going to be a little harder to grip, but he's going to be able to play faster.
Wood sticks or aluminum sticks?
You mean nylon tip sticks, the white tip. Aluminum sticks, the all-metal sticks?
Yeah.
I've played them once in a store.
Okay.
I don't like the way they sound. The nylon tip sticks are fine. I like the wood tips, they have a little warmer sound. The nylon tips have a little higher piercing sound than the cymbals.
Do you have a pair of brushes here?
Sure I do. Let me see.
Now, we were talking today, I was telling you I was listening to Miles Davis' Roundabout Midnight CD.
Right.
And the drummer, you know, I was trying to listen to the drummer, and he was just breathing. There was just so much space. Can you play like a kind of a jazz beat? Okay.
Yeah, very light, especially with brushes. I'm not going to be too heavy on the bass drum.
That's nice. It's like a whole, I mean, playing jazz is like a whole different thing.
I love it. I love doing it. Brushes are just, it's a lot of circles. I mean, I'm basically just making a big circle. Very simple. In time. So if it counts here, you got one, two, three, four. Right? And you can do different circles to make different sounds, smaller circles. Push down on the brush a little bit to get an accent. A lot of people might recognize this sound.
That's rockabilly.
Yeah, it's also from old when we were kids. Used to go see the movies, and the beginning of the movie, don't tick it, don't tick it, don't tick it.
All right, right, right.
Yeah, it was very popular. A lot of my students when I play that format, so that's what they. Oh, that's what that is. I don't remember which plaza it was. It was one of the popular movie companies had that as an opening theme.
Yeah, you know, one of the things about the music business is I went to a dance last Friday, and they had a wedding band. And wedding bands are just different than regular bands.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a bass player, but they did have a drummer. But sometimes I see bands that have a bass player and no drummer.
Drum machine.
Yeah, drum machine.
Yeah.
Now, do you program drum machines?
I have, not recently, but I have, yeah. You know, I'd rather play it. If I can play it, I play it. So why would I want to write it into a machine?
Okay. So what would you tell a kid who was starting out? I mean, what book would you use?
First of all, one of the big mistakes I find when people are starting to play drums is they sit down behind the drum set.
Interesting.
Don't do that. Don't put your son, especially if it's someone young who's never played before, behind the drum set the first time they want to play. Because the chances are, especially with the younger kids, they're going to get distracted and start doing what every kid would want to do and start banging on the drums. You know, they'll sit there and just start. Right? And they'll be like Muppet from the Muppet Show, Animal. And what will happen is if they do that long enough, they'll start developing poor technique.
So what would you have them do?
You get a pad.
A pad. Did you bring a pad?
I do bring a pad. I'm back there in my cymbal.
You know what? We'll do it next show.
All right, next show.
You can't get up. You're wired down now.
Yeah. The advantage of the pad also is you can hear everything. If you notice, when I hit the drum, you're getting a lot of ring out of it. So if you're working on isolating hits, for example, you're learning rudiments, you want to be able to hear everything. You can also hear everything on the pad.
But I heard you could hurt yourself, like... For a time in the 80s, it was popular to have electric drums, which were pads that were triggered.
Mm-hmm.
And drummers would hurt themselves because they hit them too hard, because they weren't touch sensitive. In other words, no matter how hard you hit it, you got the same sound. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a lot of drummers would hurt themselves. I personally did not like those drums.
No.
I like the real thing, and I love that deep sound. That reminds me of the Doors. Hello, yeah, I love you.
That's nice. I like the way that four tone sounds.
Now, talk to me about you would sit them down with the pad,
right?
And you'd have, would you teach them to read? Would you show them what quarter notes mean, or what would the
first thing would be? Showing them how to hold the stick, where the balancing points of the stick are. You know, how to manipulate the stick to get the most least effort out of your hand with the most sound out of the stick. So you want to work as little as possible to get the most motion out of the stick. That's the thing. That's where you're looking. It's like almost like just all this is a bounce when I'm playing. If you watch the stick, if I just let it go, I don't know if the camera's going to get this. If I let it go upside down and drop my stick on the drum, I'm not even holding the stick, I'm just going to do this and just let it go. Watch what happens. And you get all those hits and I'm not doing anything and they go.
It's like a rubber ball bouncer.
Well, eventually what you learn how to do is you learn how to control those bounces. So I could sit here, I could do this till tomorrow. You know, I'm just it's just like bouncing a basketball. You're learning how to get the middle of the stick or the right spot on the stick so that it's weighted perfectly into the drum. You're just catching and pushing it back down into the drum.
So the first thing you do is probably try to teach them like quarter notes.
Yeah. Well, I teach them some basic reading in the first lesson, too. Reading's really important to me. I don't ask my students to be tremendous readers. I ask them to read well enough to learn how to know how to learn from reading. For example, when they come to a lesson, say it's a half-hour lesson, I can give them a lot more material if they know how to read. Because if I sit down and show them all the stuff, they have to memorize it if they can't read it. I can write it all out and give it to them. They can go home and practice it.
I'm thinking of that movie Drumline. Did you see that one?
Yes. Drumline's amazing. Those drummers, and I work with some of those guys. Those guys are phenomenal.
Really?
But technically, wow.
So how long would it take before you'd sit them on the drums?
Depends on much the students practice. It really comes down to when I think their technique is strong enough. When I think that they're going to sit behind a drum set and start banging without changing their technique, that's when I'm going to put them on the drums.
Okay. You know what? Let's talk a little bit about you.
All right.
That was awesome. I hope we answered some questions that people had about the drums. You know, growing up, for me, they used to say that they would mix. I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and they'd say they'd mix a record in someone's car.
Mm-hmm.
And all they wanted to hear was the snare drum and the vocal. That was the big thing. And I used to think that was most important, and I used to think the bass player didn't mean that much. But lately, I've been playing with some really good bass players. Anthony Candulo. Mm-hmm. I'd love to play with Scott Spray. I mean, people who just make a difference. But anyway, let's talk about you. When did you decide to play drums? Who turned you on to them?
My parents were both musicians. They're pianists, and they had a rule in the house where you had to play an instrument. It was part of your education.
Okay.
So they, you know, I was going to thinking about guitar and thinking about piano and thinking about wind instruments and such. And I went to a concert at my high school. I must have been in like third grade, and I saw this amazing drummer. At least I thought in third grade he was amazing. And at that point, I was down to guitar or drums.
Was it a concert or a dance?
It was like a talent show at the high school.
Okay.
And I even remember the guy's name. I wonder if he's still around. His name was Joey DePompei. And this is like, you know, 1970 something. And I remember the guy's name, and that's the only time I saw him. And that was it. I decided to play drums after that.
So just from seeing this guy in concert.
Yeah.
Now, one of my favorite things is the stick twirler. You know who Carmen Appice
yes,
is? From the.
Yeah.
So Carmen, I love Carmen because he beat the living crap out of the drums from the Vanilla Fudge. He was a beast. He would smack it and then he'd twirl his stick.
Right.
Can you do that?
I can twirl sticks, but it's all, to me, it's all part of a show. And it's not really something I teach my students to do.
Okay.
It's not even a very good twirl anymore. There it is. There's a couple ways of doing
it. No, because he goes up here, twirls it, bang.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for a show, but it always, you know, you can't do it on a record.
Right,
so
that's true.
So
was there a song, what's the first song that you wanted to learn? Like, was it a rock song, a jazz song?
That's interesting, because what was going on with me at that point is when I decided I wanted drums, my parents immediately threw me into all these teachers. So my teachers were throwing me songs. Some of them I didn't really want to learn, even though they were giving to me, I had to learn it for the lesson. And then, I guess, this is going to be funny, I'm going to tell people this, but I think the first song I actually wanted to learn on my own that no one made me learn was a Aerosmith song called Dream On.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what it was. I just sat down one afternoon.
And that's a ballad. Rock ballad.
And my teachers were trying to show me Steely Dan, Miles, I mean, all this really hip stuff. And here I am, and, you know, learning Dream On by Aerosmith on my own.
Well, I think that's what it is. I mean, I took jazz guitar lessons with a famous jazz guitarist, and, you know, he'd show me how to put inversions of chords on every melody note, and all I wanted to play is Sunshine of Your Love,
right.
And he didn't want to teach me that.
Right.
Now I regret that I didn't stick with him more, but, you know, back then I was still a teenager and knew everything.
Right. Well, I didn't have that choice. My parents were very serious. I mean, I used to go upstairs, and when I was older, I used to go upstairs and play for like 4 or 5 hours. And I'd come back out of my practice room, which was upstairs in my house, walk back downstairs. My mom's sitting in the kitchen. She used to say to me, "Now go back upstairs and practice."
Wow.
I was like, "What do you mean? I didn't hear any rudiments. I didn't hear any reading. You know, you were just playing along to music, and that's not what we consider practicing."
Okay. We're going to put together a dream band for you. We can do this two ways.
Okay.
We could pick a band that exists or doesn't, throw the drummer out and put you in. Or you can just build your own band, whichever you want. And I'd love to hear your thought process. Why? You
know. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Let's put one. Let's do a band with me in it.
Okay.
Piano. Chick Corea.
And what kind of music is this? Is this going to be like a jazz rock band?
Yes, it'd be like a jazz
fusion
rock band.
Okay.
Fusion. There are probably no vocals in it.
Chick Corea.
Chick Corea. Will Lee on bass.
Very funky.
Very funky, because I'd like to pull away from the Latin thing so much and know I can get in some really funky grooves.
Pull away from the Latin?
Yeah, because with Chick Corea on piano, I hear very Latin jazz fusion type of parts. Amazing pianist. I mean, that's why I picked them.
500 miles high.
Oh, God, he's phenomenal. Playing with the guy threw me so many rhythmic ideas that my head would blow up. Guys, you're just always throwing stuff at you.
Okay, so who would you put on guitar in this Return Forever?
Pat Metheny.
Pat Metheny.
Yeah, probably Pat Metheny.
You know, he's a weird guy because he'll do like really atonal trio jazz, mm-hmm. like he did that first album with Jaco and.
Yep.
And then he'll do these like really world music albums, man, where the drummer's just going, gene, gene.
Right. Right.
So he covers a lot of bases.
He writes a lot of really nice songs. His time is impeccable.
Yeah, he's
His
great.
His feel is impeccable.
He's on the cover of this month's Guitar Player.
Is he?
Yeah.
Maybe I should check it out. So we got piano, we got guitar, drums, Brecker Brothers on horns.
So you'd have to bring one back.
Yeah, right. But that'd be a great. I mean, you pretty much play anything you want. There's nothing you can't play, and everything would feel great.
So this would be pretty much like a 70s fusion band.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of.
But, you know, I'd like to be a little funky with it, a little more backbeat-oriented with it. You get into some Latin stuff, but not too heavy.
Rather than the Fusoid beat, the Billy Collin beat.
Yeah, that's why Will Lee.
Okay.
That's why I put him on, you know.
Well, I want to thank you so much. That was part one of the lesson. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come right back. Rudy Feinauer.
Thank you.
All right.
How'd we do?
Thought we did great. Yeah. I can make some suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cross your arms.
All right.
Don't cross your legs. It doesn't make you look as good. I thought you did a great job.
Yeah, I actually feel comfortable. It's not a problem.
Am I asking you good
questions?
No,
you're asking me great questions. I feel really comfortable everything's going. Nice.
So let's talk about next show. I think we may cover some of the rudiments some more.
You can ask me like how I apply rudiments to the drums if you want some questions like that.
Oh, I forgot to shut it off. We just caught that one.
You can edit that, right?
Yeah. Well, I can't edit this, but that's okay.
Yeah, all right. Maybe it'll be interesting for the audience to hear what we talk about on camera.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
we didn't talk about anything bad.
No.
So it's fun.
So next show, I'm going to talk about space in music, maybe taste in music. Careful, because you're hooked up.
All right, I'll get the pad. I see the wire. We're good.
Okay. Now, do you need to go to the bathroom or anything?
No, I'm good. That was
okay,
fun.
Okay.
I just want to grab this.
Okay, yeah, good to have the pad there. So we'll talk about the pad. So that question went really well.
Yeah.
Now if you...
What other things? Jazz, Latin, there are other grooves you didn't touch on. The actual, you asked me a little bit about tuning the drums, but you didn't actually ask me to show you how I do that.
Well, you can lead, too.
Yeah.
You don't have to count
great.
On... Well, but I was reaching. I was reaching, and maybe I was going too fast.
No,
and
I think
a little
we're doing
jumbled.
Great. I didn't even know the time was up. I looked up and said 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Damn.
Do you need your pack?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, you done?
Yeah, I didn't break your mic either in the process.
Okay, so that's good.
The time thing's cool. The space, and we talked with things I'm talking about with you on our band. You know, that's also why those musicians I picked. They all have a really great time.
Okay, well, maybe we could talk about some of your big shows that you've played.
Sure.
You know, you could.
I can name B.B. King's, the Gil Parish shows, and Paramount Theaters, and.
Yeah.
So if you want to do that.
So I think we'll start with that. So, you know, let's make sure that we mention, you know, your MySpace thing. We don't have to do much because it's going to flash under the screen. But you want people, you know, to know, you know, that you're a good teacher and you're good with kids, which I think came across.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I think we're ready. I'm like an in and out guy.
I love it.
I don't want to linger.
No, I like that. It's good. What'd you do to your toe?
I was at Taekwondo and I was running and I kicked what I thought was a basketball, but it was a 15-pound medicine ball and I split my toe up the middle. You know, just vertically. Yeah. But that was okay. Then I went to trim the nail one night. And I completely, when I trimmed it, you know how sometimes you go too far in there? So I completely screwed it up. I may have to, you know, go to the doctor.
The new nail should grow in, right?
Well, it's just like infected and it hurts. Yeah.
It's all the bacteria in your feet. So.
So what I've been doing now is I've been pouring hydrogen peroxide on twice a day, putting triple...
You're going to maybe talk.
Can anybody hear me? Hello? We're ready to go, if you guys are ready.
You can talk about the parts of the drums, too.
Okay, let's do that.
Rectum, basium, hi-hats, scratch cymbals, what the holes are.
Yeah.
Give you some more ideas. Maybe how you sit. Posture.
Yeah, let's talk about posture. I mean...
If you don't do it, it's okay. Just give me some ideas. If you're reaching for ideas, this way when you're up there, you bring those up.
I can't.
Don't worry. I got it.
All right. I think I got it. It should be okay. I never grow old.
That's it. We have to do it again. You lost it all.
Well, it looks weird. Something happened to it. Because it was saying 27 minutes. Here, let me shut the...